Welcome to the Hoovering Review. I'm Michael.
I'm Shelby.
And I'm Crowlin.
Oh, geez. Tonight we're going to obviously be talking about The Power of Kroll, the fifth story in the almost ending, season 16, The Key to Time. Yeah, so the Doctor and Romana end up going to a swamp for this one.
They sure do. A swamp with swampies. And, you know, I must say I love a good origin story. I really never knew how the guy on the can of green beans came about and where he came from. But that all makes some sense.
Oh, dear.
I kind of liked the one of them that was, you know, like trying to scare Romana in his like mushroom costume and be like, what are you trying to be, man? And then you actually saw the squid and it's like, actually, I take it back. Good job, man. It looks about the same.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And it's a Cthulhu-esque horror. Gigantic creature.
I think that was one of the issues that I had with this story. With regards to the swampies, is that it's really difficult to tell some of them apart, so that it kind of loses.
Oh, Michael, that's racist.
No, I'm just saying they put the same exact
just
hair.
Just because they're green.
They put the same exact makeup, the same exact hair on a lot of them, and unless they were like really tall, really short, or of course Rankin himself, the one that's got all the
extra gold features.
Yeah,
in there.
Extra silver and gold on them. It's kind of hard to tell who's who. And that takes away a little bit of the individuality from some of these characters.
I mean, I felt like there were other clear characters, you know, amongst them that I could pick out. But also, I think one of the flaws of this episode is, like, there were a lot of, like, just random characters that I couldn't care all about.
Yeah, I don't think that it was really about the characters. And I think that it, you know, the story was very simple. It was far too simple for the length of time that it was given. It was really a story just of two communities that, you know, one community with advanced technology came and invaded, was stripping the resources and, like, subjugating the locals. And the locals were worshipping this, you know, supernatural-seeming creature around. Dr. Romana came in, shook things up. Turns out the Key to Time segment is actually the creature, which was a pretty neat twist. Yes. And, you know, it kind of, like, you know, and then it sort of left with, well, man, I guess you're going to have to learn to live with these natives now. Good luck. And it, you know, that whole bit was nice, but it really did not need four episodes to tell the story.
I agree. I think they could have probably taken out one of these episodes and
had a
decent three-part.
Or they could have pulled it off with two.
I'm looking for a little bit more meat. I want something to sink my teeth into here. And I do love the creature, and I love the idea of having a creature that will lie dormant for hundreds of years and
come out in terms of monstrosity
and even go through the pipes and grab you, and, you know, that you might even be so vast that for that millennia you have your own cult that grants you sacrifices. You know, I think that's a fun, you know, dark, mystical, eldritch horror kind of idea.
Maybe they could have.
I did appreciate that.
Maybe they could have expanded a little bit on that.
It felt like that baby was put very much into a corner for this clash of civilizations that, at least, you know, coming from a 2024 perspective, is not wholly unique. and seems, you know, pretty derivative.
Well, it would have been more interesting, I think, if the humans that are on board the the refinery, if they could have somehow been connected to the Swampies in some way, like the Swampies were,
like, if only they were more refined themselves.
Yeah, I know. But
I thought it was pretty funny that the group that was all like, all life came from Earth, when they're sitting on a planet that, like, clearly is occupied by people with different origins.
Well, I think Thawne is the main reason, and Thawne is the main kind of like the captain of the refinery. He's the one that wants the Swampies out of there as fast as possible. Obviously, he's kind of taking on the racist character, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but it was just like, it was so basic, but just because it was a very, like, clear-cut case of good and evil, and it wasn't like... And then they pretty much were like, oh, well, we took away the conflict because we took away the thing that was, you know, driving.
I wonder if people at its time it was more nuanced. Maybe this was a more unique perspective at the time.
Was it?
I don't know.
I don't think so. This is a Robert Holmes story.
Really sad if it is.
This is a Robert Holmes story, yeah, which is kind of unusual because Robert Holmes usually has these really amazing stories that really kind of grab you and have those wonderful duos in them. Like, Talons of Wang Chiang is one of his brainchilds.
This was not one of them.
This is... I think there was a sense that he tried, like...
The stretching machine was cool.
Yeah, there's some good vibes in this episode. Like, I liked kind of what he was trying to go on the track of, but I feel like none of it was very well legitimized.
And he didn't have anything new to say about it.
I feel like there needed to be at least one more rewrite, and to actually get to kind of batten down the hatches, so to speak. I think there was there were a lot of good elements to the story that really worked, but I think it also was an overreach because you had this creature that you couldn't possibly on a BBC budget really create and realize well enough for
TV. Show the tentacles.
It was clear in this episode, too, that there were some shots that were a lot better done than some other shots of this creature, too. It seems like we kept coming back to, like, one view of this creature that was done pretty well, you know, out on the swamp. But then you see again another context, like, oh, well, what's going on there?
Yeah, when it's wrecking that in the base or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously the crawl creature or puppet or whatever you want to call
lacking in power.
Was lacking in a lot of the actual movement it needed, and it rises way out of the water. Like, okay, why would it be that far out of the water? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think that it was an example of something they could have just maybe reimagined the whole, you know, that whole scene and just, like, shown maybe a tentacle coming out the window. Oh my God, look how huge it is. You know, that would have been better.
And I've told you guys this, but I think if they're going to do any of the stories for the Blu-ray that will eventually come out, if they're going to do any special effects, I'm guessing that this would be the one. Because there's really not another story that I can imagine that they would want to do.
Yeah, you could CGI that creature all over and, you know, make it beautiful in every way.
And maybe take another pass at the editing of it. Maybe cut down some of those walking through reeds and walking back and forth in the swamp.
Oh, man.
Bits,
I don't know about
some
this
of those conversations.
Theoretical budget, but I think you could remaster all of the Green Bean people as well.
I liked their costumes.
I didn't have a problem with how they were portrayed. I only had an issue that it was harder to tell some of them apart because it was fine,
don't get me wrong, but they were people painted green and I felt like they were people painted green.
That kind of goes without saying. Philip Maddock, who plays Fenner in this story, by the way, actually it has a long history with Doctor. He's the one that actually survives the oil refinery and goes off with the Swampies at the end of the story, so to speak. He's probably the best, one of the better actors in this particular story. But he plays it off like he just doesn't care that he's even there. He's like, and he does play. I mean, he does seem to be upset with Thawne for going around killing people. But it's just like there's no real enthusiasm.
Maybe the actor really didn't care to be there.
Maybe not. Maybe he saw the script and was like, oh, my God. But I will point out that Dagheen, who actually is the one that wanted to stop Thawne from doing his evil bidding, was played by none other than John Leeson, who is, of course, K-9.
Oh, I did not know. And you know, and I thought K-9 was put in a corner this whole episode, and he was there all along. In another, you know...
Exactly. And it was one of the more reasonable characters. Everybody actually liked Dagheen's character because he's actually kind of the nice guy.
Yeah, I can see him calling Romana mistress.
But he was on under contract, so they had to put him in somehow. But K-9 wasn't going to go through a swamp. That was just not going to happen. So they were like, well, what else can we do with this... with John Leeson. Well, let's give him this role because it's kind of a decent character and people will feel sorry for him. Okay, sounds good. So they did. And there you have it. We also had that one oddball gunrunner, Rom Dutt. What a name.
He was there.
He was there. Interestingly acted, but again, I feel like his character there could have been something else that was done with his character.
Yeah, we could have had some stakes. We could have felt a little bit more closer, I think, to his character in a lot of ways that I don't think we quite got.
I feel like that could be said about every character in this story.
You're probably right. I think our main attachments are carried on from past stories.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not discounting what you're saying. I'm just pointing out it is
a blanket kind of problem here. But there's good to be had, too. With that, should we roll into the ratings?
If you'd like, sure.
It felt right to me, so I'm surging right forward into it. Lot to be said about this episode, and I think most of it has been said.
or maybe not so much.
You know, an appropriate amount is to be said about this episode. And I have to say, I love the creature of the week. I really do love a massive creature on a grand scale that can go through viscous mud just as much as it can go through water, that reincarnates or comes back after a dormant period from hundreds of years that has its own, you know, local cult surrounded by it. I love that. And I think clashing with the cultures could be a great little vibe here. I think it's interesting kind of tension, but... it feels done. It doesn't feel very interesting. It doesn't feel, like, very well acted. And I feel like the stakes and me caring about it are low past, you know, getting another part of the key to time and all that. The pacing, not great. The return value, not great. The plot line, okay. I think it's going to earn a 5.5 out of 10.
Yeah, this one was pretty lackluster. I feel like a lot of it, you know, if they weren't trying to, like, fill up some arbitrary time slots here, they could have, you know, cut this story down significantly, and it would have been a lot more decent. It was, yeah, I mean, especially put up against the other Key to Time episodes, which have been very enjoyable, this one was, you know... bit of a disappointment. Man, it's hard to say things about this because it didn't say a lot. And but yeah, like I said, there were good points in it. I liked the, you know, Key to Time being, you know, this giant creature, or at least fueling this giant creature, you know. That was kind of a neat thing. Sort of on par with it being a planet inside another planet. But, you know, there wasn't a lot else going on. I'm going to give this one 5 out of 10. Yeah. Seems fair.
Very middle of the road. Yeah, this story goes down in the annals of... the annals of Doctor Who's worst stories of the Tom Baker era. It does not... unfortunately hold a whole lot of intrigue in terms of the characters, and I think that's where it falls flat, which is very unusual for a Robert Holmes script, because usually he comes up with some of the greatest characters. Now, arguably, there are some characters in there that you might get slightly attached to, but overall, it's like, well, okay, this was kind of a waste. This was a waste. Okay, that was totally a waste. I mean, there was just a lot of fluff, and there wasn't enough, I don't know. There just wasn't enough moments where you're like, ooh, this is kind of cool. Now, yeah, there were a couple of cool shots where the tentacles come out and grab people and take them down the pipes, and that was interesting. I think there were definitely I actually really like the part where the doctor actually discovers the book, because it's kind of like more of the history of where the Swampies came from and how they came to start
I like that too.
Kind of having their own religion based on this powerful beast that just happens to be on this planet. If only they knew it was part of a grander scheme. But I do feel like this story has been done much better. For instance, the whole monster taking over the world kind of thing was done with Seeds of Doom, which is another Tom Baker story that is far better and is extremely well done. It may also have been written by Robert Holmes. But at any rate, I would have to give this one... I'm going to give this one a 4.5 out of 10, because I think this is... It does... I mean, it did hold my interest while I was watching it today, but I just... It falls flat on so many levels.
Wow, I thought I'd be on the low end. And here I am bumping up this to an average of, what, 5?
I did give it 4.5.
Solid average of 5.
A solid average of 5. But I would have to say Tom Baker probably carries a lot of it, because he himself... I mean, Romana kind of has nothing to do. She just gets captured, she screams, and then she walks around asking questions.
Yeah, but at least
questions.
We care about her as a character because we know her from past stories.
Right, but we... But at the same time, I don't know, her character...
She doesn't shine here.
She doesn't shine. The fourth Doctor is the only character in this story that actually gets great lines.
You're not wrong.
And has something to do throughout the story. And I don't know, I just...
But even he doesn't have that much to do. But you're right, he has something.
He's like the primary focus of a lot of
scenes. Oh, yeah, definitely. More so than any other character. He has a lot to do, but I'm just saying, compared to other Doctor Who stories, he still doesn't have a lot to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Take this as a lesson, folks. Go out there, embrace life, and do something. Don't be like these characters here. Make the most of life. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Have a great one, folks.
Bye.
Have a good night, y'all.